Yo, what's up? This is episode 85 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. As always, we're presented by FullPressCoverage.com. Find us on the Full Press Coverage app, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, and more. Check me out on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Partee. All right, this week, got something good for you. We're going to talk about beef because it seems to be beefing season right now. And that's not just in sports, the NBA, but it's also a little crossover between music, entertainment, NBA. We'll get into all that. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the MVP race. I want to talk about this beef first. We got this past week or so. Now, one of these has been going on for a while. The other one may have been a little bit under the radar, but it's out there now. So Draymond Green, Dylan Brooks, that rivalry was renewed within the past few days. And Dylan Brooks got the last laugh, last word this time, because the Grizzlies beat the Warriors. Right? He's been going at Draymond Green. Draymond Green's been going back at him. The Warriors don't like how much these guys talk, which I can understand because they haven't won anything. They haven't done anything close to what the Warriors have done. And the Grizzlies are the young upstart who's tired of hearing about what the old guard did years ago. All right? Art often imitates life because we see this all the time. We also got Bad Bunny. Yeah, didn't think you'd hear that name. I know. And Devin Booker. Since Bad Bunny is apparently dating Kendall Jenner, I don't keep up with all this. I only know about this because he went at Devin Booker and a good friend of mine sent this to me. So he has a song or he has a feature on a song out right now. And he takes one of his verses, uses one of his verses to diss Devin Booker, apparently, in this song. You can go check it out. It's by Eladio Carrion. I think I'm saying that right. It's called Coco Chanel. All right. So you got that. And then even myself. I even found myself in the midst of a little mini Twitter beef, media beef with this chump out in San Francisco, which is my hometown. You know, I'm from San Francisco, from the Bay Area. Got a little tiff with this chump. I shouldn't even say his name, Bonta Hill, but I don't care. It is what it is. He said something slick about an article that I wrote about fans and even media being entitled to know everything going on in athletes' lives. And it's pertaining to the whole Andrew Wiggins thing out there in the Bay Area with the Warriors. And now he's been out over a month now. And no one really knows why. At least no one publicly knows why. Sure, the team knows, and there's been a lot of ugly rumors. Not going to get into all that. A lot of ugly rumors about his personal life. You can Google it, go on Twitter. It's all over the place now. But this radio show in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game, a station that I once worked at, mind you, this was years back. I worked there, but they posed the question asking fans, you know, does he owe, or do they want an explanation? Or, you know, of course, a lot of fans want to know. The Warriors have talked about it briefly. Wiggins wants his privacy. And in my opinion, it should stop. You know, once he says, all right, it's a personal matter, I'm not going to talk about it, just leave it alone. I understand in the media, we need to ask these questions. People want to know. But if you keep getting that same answer, just leave it alone, especially if it's something that seems to be very personal, that a person does not want to be scrutinized publicly like that. Leave it alone. So this jerk off got upset and he went on air. First he DMs me, right? First this chump DMs me, asked me if I saw the segment or listened to the segment. I said, yeah, I listened to it. Not live, but I did listen to it. I didn't hear back from him, obviously. We know how some of these cats are. Then the next morning he goes on his show and he throws a little jab out talking about Deadspin coming from the dead, doing an article, blah, blah, blah. It really irritated him or whatever he said. Yeah, so I went back at him on Twitter. First, I went back to see if I could DM him again, and he blocked me. He blocked me on Twitter. I went at him, threw some shots. Then he had one of his little buddies, who's a DJ in San Francisco, come at me and say something stupid on Twitter on one of my posts. And one of my articles actually posted articles on Deadspin on Twitter. And yeah, so I went back at that chump too. But, you know, it was quick. It was, you know, over the weekend, middle of last week through the weekend. But I'm not even going to waste much time on this guy. But back to Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks and just beef overall. My thing is with the Draymond Green, Dylan Brooks thing, that is, I get where the Warriors are coming from. These guys haven't accomplished anything. I mean, the way they've talked all year is like, you know, last year when they played the Warriors, it's like they were in the conference finals and they beat them, and they barely beat them. They barely beat you in the second round of the playoffs. Like, you haven't done anything. I understand, yeah, you're trying to be the next and you're trying to dethrone them or, you know, dethrone whoever's going to be there. Obviously, they're still the champions, but whoever's going to be in your way, you're trying to get past all of that and get to the finals. I get it. But there's one thing to said for, I don't want to say acting like you're being there because I don't mind trash talk, but these dudes just, it's like they're just going really too, they're going way too far. And they're even still talking with Ja Morant out. And he's been out. He's eligible to come back very soon, next couple days, actually, next few days, actually. But even without him, they've still just been running, and I guess mostly Dylan Brooks, just running their mouths. Klay Thompson said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, when Dylan Brooks is gone, no one's going to talk about Dylan Brooks. When he's not in the NBA anymore, he said 10 years from now. Hell, it might be 5 years from now that no one's talking about Dylan Brooks anymore. Let's just be honest. Maybe not 5 years. He's actually a pretty good player. I'm going to give him his due. He's a good player. You know, he's not a star, but he's a good player. But the second he's gone, especially if he goes on to not play with teams that win anything, even just once, any championships, no one's going to remember this guy. Some Memphis fans may remember him, but apparently some of their fans don't like him either. So I don't know, but get to the conference finals at least and then start running your mouth. They just out here running talk, and they've been talking reckless all year. Now their leader's gone. They're doing all right, but they're still just talking. In the playoffs, they're not winning anything without Ja Morant. Seven-game series, without Ja Morant, they're not beating Phoenix. As long as KD and Devin Booker are healthy, they don't have the most depth anymore, but as long as those two are healthy and they still got Chris Paul. You know how I feel about Chris Paul, but he's still a good player. But without Ja Morant, who should be back, but without him, they have no chance against a Phoenix. Hell, a Golden State, a Denver, any of the – hell, the Clippers, none of those teams. They have a shot against none of them without Ja Morant. With Ja there, they got a good shot, great shot. But without him, they got no chance. So some of these dudes need to calm down and relax and understand the magnitude of what's going on here. It's all about the playoffs. The Warriors don't care about the post about the regular season. They don't care. It's unfortunate to say, but that doesn't get them going anymore. After winning four championships within 8 years and then being in a couple other finals on top of that, all right, and being in the mix every year except for the 2 years with all the injuries, Steph Curry, Draymond, and then we know Klay missed 2 years, and they were kind of rebuilding, bringing in the young guns like Kuminga, Poole, guys like that. The Warriors have been, since 2014, basically, they've been the team that's in the mix, along with the Cavs there for a while, that you knew were going to be in the mix, right? 2014, 2015 was what I'm saying. But the Grizzlies, they got to actually accomplish something first. It's great that they're a nice young team. They've had a nice maturation process now, you know, over the last 2-3 years. Started with them making the play-in, knocking the Warriors out of the play-in, beating the Warriors in the play-in. Last year, ending up the number 2 seed last year, running through, and then running into the Warriors. And we kind of knew that was going to happen, where they're going to run into the Warriors. Kind of, it felt like it was, at least, and it happened. Do they face again this year? Maybe. They might. You never know. Could happen, but... And again, the Warriors are so bad on the road this year, it could be totally different because they would pretty much be going, game 7 would be in Memphis. But all you got to do is win one road game, really. You got to hold it down at home now, which the Warriors can do. You got to hold it down at home. If you're only going to win one road game, you can't lose at home, obviously. But you've got to – they need to get better on the road, the Warriors do. But with the Grizzlies – Sometimes you just play. We like trash talk. That's fine. But sometimes it just gets ridiculous. He said, Dylan Brooks says he owns a lot of real estate in San Francisco, meaning in the heads of the Warriors. And to be honest, he does. I'm not saying he's affecting them as being in their head, but he is in their heads because they are responding. They are. As for that guy in San Francisco that jumped on there, said something, and then ran and hid. Just letting y'all know, if y'all gonna be, and this is just, we talking about social media, not talking about like beef. Like, this is just, I was just having fun with it. But, you know, some people can't take a joke. They want to throw, like, that's my thing. I don't mess with people that can't take a joke back, but they want to throw jokes. Or they want to get their jokes off and then somebody throwing back at them. That's not my kind of person, right? You're going to throw the joke out there and be ready for it to come back. And then we can go back and forth if you want to do that. But don't just run and hide or block people and do all this other stuff when you're throwing shots first. That's some sucker shit. I'm just going to be honest. That's sucker shit. Real talk, baby. Real talk. Bad Bunny and Devin Booker. I mean, we see this one all the time, right? Now, maybe something else going on here with these guys. One is of Mexican heritage, Devin Booker. The other is, I believe Bad Bunny is Puerto Rican. So on a certain level, I get it. But if it's just because he's now dating Kendall Jenner and she used to date Devin Booker, I mean, all right. But, you know, these are some young cats. They in their 20s. I guess so. If that's what y'all want to do. It's just funny, like, this last week, there's just been – and there's been other beef, like – dudes in hip-hop, California cats, hip-hop, they is beefing. I mean, like, it's just all kind of stuff going on right now. But, you know, it's spring. A lot of areas of the country, we've been – hell, areas where they're not used to getting bad weather in the winter. Been locked in the house for, you know, seemingly months now, not able to do much, even on the West Coast. Folks is ready to get back out and act a fool. Let's just be honest. Folks is ready to get out, act a fool, and it's time for that, right? It's just time for that. But we'll keep up with these beefs because Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks is going to go on. The Bad Bunny and Devin Booker thing, I'm not really sure because as far as I know, Devin Booker's not a rapper. He may have to enlist Damian Lillard to write him something or just drop a diss track response or something. Unless Devin Booker got bars and I didn't know it or we didn't know it. I don't know. Nobody know what's going to come of that. It's like Bad Bunny is attacking a guy that's not really. Now, Devin Booker did get online on social media and say something. But that don't really have as much. Well, I guess it can because it's instantaneous. But, I mean, as far as like going in the studio or hell, even just getting on your phone and recording something and just dissing somebody. I mean, it's kind of hard to top that with social media. Right. But we'll see what happens here. Hopefully things don't go too far. You know, the Draymond Green, Dylan Brooks thing, it'll probably go pretty far on the court. But that's about it. I don't see them really. I mean, they may have a scuffle, but I don't really see nothing going to blow, nothing like that. So that's that. And then as far as me and this clown, I'm not even going to speak on it anymore. Unless he says something, which he won't because he's scary. So we know what it is. It's all good. All right, let's talk about the MVP race. We'll talk about the top guys in the MVP race. And I don't know if you noticed this, but it's almost like we're having the revenge of the big man in the NBA, even though he's technically a forward. And I guess big man usually pertains to the center position. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is a big man, all right? So for right now, I'm going to include him in this. But the top three once again this year for MVP. Right now, Joel Embiid apparently has taken the lead just a little bit. He's nudged ahead of Nikola Jokic, and then Giannis in third, Jason Tatum fourth, fifth is Luka Doncic. Right. It just seems like Luka Doncic can't catch a break. He's not going to win MVP. It's been a couple years now where he's been picked, and like two of the last 3 years, he's been picked in the preseason by a lot of analysts on television or radio to win MVP, and he's not done it. Not even finished in the top three this last couple of years, and doesn't look like he's going to finish in the top three this year. So, two centers at the top right now, like officially listed as centers, Jokic, Joker, and Joel Embiid. Joel the Troll Embiid. Again, Giannis is technically a forward, but I'm looking at the history. I was looking at the history of the MVP award in the NBA. And this award during the 21st century, like let's say since 2000, actually, yeah, we'll say since 2004, right? If we're saying that the big man position is strictly just center, and we've talked about how the center position is dead in the NBA, or really in basketball for years, like the true center is dead. If you take away, outside of Jokic, the last 2 years, 2021, 2022, I never thought coming into this year he would win a third in a row. It just doesn't happen in the modern era much. Larry Bird's the last one to do it. He won three in a row in the mid-80s. It just doesn't happen much anymore, right? But if you take Jokic out, the last center to win MVP was Tim Duncan, and he was listed as a center at that time. At least that's what Basketball Reference is saying. I know it's always a debate about his career, about how long he was considered a center, how long he was a power forward. But in 03 and 04, I'm sorry, 02 and 03, Tim Duncan was listed as a center, at least according to Basketball Reference. I'm looking at it right now. 02, 03. So the 01-02 season and the 02-03 season, Tim Duncan won MVP back-to-back. But in between that time and all the way up to 2020, no center took the award. Yeah, a lot of small forwards, a ton of guards, a couple power forwards, but center was absent. So I'll go up the list. So 2004 was Kevin Garnett, power forward. The next 2 years, Steve Nash, that was his back-to-back. People still don't think he should have won him, but he did. Point guard. Dirk Nowitzki, listed as a forward. I guess you could say small forward, power forward. Definitely a perimeter guy. Or, you know, on the elbow, whatever you want to say. But forward. Kobe Bryant won in 08. They have him listed as a small forward. He's mostly a shooting guard, but, hey, that's what they want. Want to say, but he was not a center. LeBron, the next 2 years, 09 and 10. Derrick Rose won it in 2011. Bulls, LeBron again, 2 years in a row, 2012, 2013. Kevin Durant in 14. 15, 16, Steph Curry. Russell Westbrook, 17. That first triple-double year. I believe that's the first year, for the first triple-double. James Harden, 18. And then Giannis in 19 and 20. Then we get to 21 and 22, Nikola Jokic. And last year, it was Jokic and Embiid again in the top two. I believe it was top two. Giannis was up there too. I believe Embiid finished second, Jokic first. It seems like it's going to flip-flop this year. We're down to a few weeks left in the regular season for the NBA. Most teams have very few games left. Most teams have around 11 games left, somewhere around 10, give or take a couple, right? So we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Well, we're really getting down to it now with the NBA season, and the MVP race has heated up. Like I said, Embiid has passed Jokic for first, and looking at the standings, like the Nuggets are in first place, and they got a 3.5 game lead on the Grizzlies, who are in second now. They've jumped back ahead of the Kings, who are in third. Warriors jump back. The Warriors keep fluctuating between fifth and like ninth, it feels like. They're currently sixth right now at 37 and 36. They would play the Kings in the first round. And if they got past them, it might be them. Might be the Warriors and the Grizzlies again in the second round. So looking out for that. But over in the East, got the Sixers, who actually have a half game lead as far as standings go on the Nuggets, which could or could not be part of the reason why because their records are probably going to end up being around the same, even though the Sixers are probably going to finish in third in the East. They could finish in second, but they're three back of the Bucks right now. I don't see them catching the Bucks unless the Bucks just, you know, fall off in these next 10 games. Or for them, yeah, next 11, because they played 71, so next 11 games. But Jokic versus Embiid, and when they've played in the regular season this year, at least the last time, Embiid, pretty dominant showing against Nikola Jokic. And Embiid's been lobbying for MVP for like the last, it seems like the last, at least the last 2 years, at the least. He just doesn't understand what he needs to do to you know, get the MVP. I mean, it might happen this year, because I just don't see the voters giving it to Jokic 3 years in a row. I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's average. He's almost averaging a triple-double. He's at 24.8 points per game, 11.9, and 9.9 now. 11.9 rebounds, 9.9 assists. Now, I do believe because of what we've seen out of Russell Westbrook, or what we saw out of Russell Westbrook for 4 out of 5 years, averaging a triple-double, I think that's kind of diluted what that means in terms of accomplishment. It's like, yeah, he's averaging a triple-double, but this guy who did it and was far less efficient doing it, did it for like 4 years, 4 out of 5 years. And I think at 1.3 years in a row, which was Russell Westbrook. So I think that's going to hurt Jokic, because it's not – and the fact that Westbrook did it so many times in a short span, it's kind of made it not as special anymore. It's made it not as special. It really has. And then you got people accusing Jokic of stat padding, which he might be. I don't know. I think a lot of guys stat pad. Here's the thing. You get paid. Like, that's how these guys get paid. And what I mean by that is that's what you used to negotiate. If Jokic ends the season with the exact same stat line of 11.9 rebounds, 9.9 assists, along with the 24, almost 25 points a game, it's going to be like, oh, well, but he didn't average 10 assists a game, and he finished just under 12 rebounds a game. This is what teams do. This is how they negotiate. This is how they try to take millions off of a guy's potential salary. That, oh, well, he didn't get the triple-double. We'll put a clause in there next year for the next contract when he hits the triple-double average per season. So, yeah, guys do stat pad. Don't ever believe that they don't. And it's kind of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, it's like, really, you're stat padding? Just go sit down when the game is over and you don't need to be in there, or whatever it is, you know. Like, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to get that last two assists. It's not really within the flow of the game. You're just trying to – I mean, yeah, I guess you can say that. Guys are searching for things. It's not just coming within the flow of the game. But, again, this is how these guys get paid. This is how teams judge them, based pretty much on stats. It's fine to talk about, you know, watching the game and the eye test and like, oh, yeah, he's worth it. But a guy that averages – 28 points per game is always going to make a lot more than a guy that averages, you know, 20, 21, give you 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He may be a better overall player because there's things he does defensively as well, or he just fits into almost any system as the guy that averages 28. But the guy that averages 28 is probably going to make more money, get a bigger contract, or make more on average per year, whatever the metric is. That's just how this works. That's just how it works. So I don't really blame guys too much. I used to look at it that way years ago, but I don't blame guys too much because that's how they get paid. It's metrics. You hit certain numbers, you get paid. If you average 30-plus points a year in a contract year, you're going to get paid a lot more than what you were going to get paid had you just averaged 27. 5 and 5. You go 32, 5 and 5. and shoot 50% from the field, 38, 39 from three, 40 from whatever it is, you're going to make more money. It's all about, some of us don't like this. And sometimes, you know, I'm not a big analytic guy, but they do have a place, but everything's not about numbers. Yet and still, that's how players are judged. So, yeah, if a guy needs to do that, Jokic, whatever he needs to do, if he needs three assists at the end of a game so he can average that triple-double the last game of the season, go get that. I'm not really mad at it. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not saying he's doing that, but he's been accused of stat padding is all I'm saying. But, you know, right now he's in second place in the MVP race. All right? So he's got a little ground to make up. Now, the one thing that's really – I mean, he's averaging a lot less points per game than Embiid. Embiid's going double-double. Embiid's averaging 33.5 points per game, over 10 rebounds, and about 4 assists. Embiid's having a great year. I think if they can get up to – if they finish – then if the Sixers finish with the first seed, the number one seed somehow, they make those three games up within the next 10 or 11 to pass Boston and Milwaukee to get the number one seed, Embiid's going to be the MVP. I pretty much would say hands down. I would say hands down. If they stay in third, there's still a shot for the Nuggets, for Jokic, because the Nuggets are going to finish. From how it looks like the Nuggets are going to finish the season as the number one seed in the West. So it'll still be close. But again, if I had to pick or vote on which way the voters are going to go, the majority, I would say towards Embiid. I just don't think they're going to give a guy in this age three MVPs in a row. And to be honest, I don't really think. And now for a while, I thought Giannis might be the MVP. But he had some injuries. They fell off a little bit for a while. They came back on. They've been cooking a little more recently, obviously. They're really starting to really come on. And they're in first place in the conference. Are the Bucks 2.5 game lead over Boston. But I think what Embiid is doing, I mean, he's having a hell of a season, is Joel Embiid. If he does not win it this year, last year I was like, stop complaining, go win. But if he doesn't win it this year, and let's say they end up in second place in the East, maybe they finish one game behind, just one game behind Milwaukee, and he ends, you know, doing what he's doing. I don't see how he can't win MVP. Yeah, we know the Nuggets are probably going to end up in first place, but especially if Jokic doesn't finish the season with a triple-double, averaging a triple-double. That can change a little bit, but again, I think people are just kind of over that because it seems to be oversaturated because of one person, Russell Westbrook, and how the triple-double on a season, average for a season, is looked at now. I don't think that's really going to help Jokic too much. I don't think it's going to help him too much as far as winning that third straight MVP. I just don't. I think it's going to be Embiid. I think it's Embiid's to lose at this point. It really is. It's Embiid's to lose. He just needs to go get it. He just got to go get it. All right, that's going to do it this week for episode 85 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. We're on fullpresscoverage.com. Check us out on the Full Press Coverage app, as well as Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Partee. I'm going to check you out real soon. Peace.